Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of our broadcast, and we're just excited about today's show. We're going to have, on the second and the second segment, we're going to have Mr. Josh Murray. And for those that don't know Josh, he was part of the 168 Film Project, which I was part of many years back. In fact, we've had the founder on here as well. And we're really partial to having anyone to do with this project on the air with us. We're excited about that because we just like to promote. We like to promote media. We like to promote what God is doing. And we're just excited about seeing people succeed in the movie industry, in the film industry. So anyway, that is who we're going to have. And we're going to have them on the second segment. He was scheduled to be here just before I went to Kenya this past year, but unfortunately, that was the day that our power just cut off. It just cut off. I don't understand why. I don't know how, but it just didn't work. Half the station was lit. Of course, then half the church was lit, and the other half wasn't. We had some lights in some rooms, and then we had no power on the walls to turn on. Not enough power to turn on a computer. So I just decided to unplug everything, and we called the power company. There was some winds. It burned out a transformer, and we have three transformers for the station church, and that transformer was replaced. Of course, that all took time. And we couldn't do shows that day. And then Friday, I was just so busy. It was supposed to be my last recording before I headed out. And we didn't do any more recordings after that until we got back just a couple of weeks back. And now we're going to have him. He was so disappointed, too. And I appreciate him. And I know that his heart is there. He just really wants to do the Lord's work. And we're going to have some great time with him in just about 20, 25 minutes from now. We'll be talking with him, talking about what he did at the film festival and how he placed and stuff. I don't even know. I think John sent something out, and the founder, John Ware, sent the winner and all the information for them, and it was a huge prize, $1 million contract for creating a film with Echo Light Studios as the grand prize. And so I want to see where he placed and all that. I don't want to jump too much into that, but on the second segment we will, and we'll talk about that. And it's amazing how God just brings the people to us, and we have a big interview that we're also signing up here, getting it ready to go. And I'll let you know in just a couple of days if that interview is happening, that we're going to have with another great guest, and we're going to see that happen hopefully soon. Hopefully that one will be put together. I don't want to talk about it till we have a date and a phone number to call, because it's going to be exciting, especially, and I'll give you a hint for sports fans, it's going to be exciting. So I'll give you that much of a hint, and we'll see what God does and how God puts that one together for us. And I'm just excited to see what God does with the things that he gives us. It's an amazing time to see the Lord move and the things that we're doing and how he's doing it. And right now, pray for the nation. Pray for Washington, D.C. Pray for the area out there by the White House. Just the Navy Yard yesterday was attacked. 13 people, from when I was reading the last report before I went to bed last night, were killed. They're still talking if this was a lone gunman or not. And of course, you know, I hardly ever bring in news or information like that to the show, but I think we really need to just focus on the blessings that God has given us. You know, the Bible says that tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And when you see something like this, you just kind of try and figure out why are they doing this? Why are they affecting other people's lives like that? Why are they coming in so strong, and they're just coming in and hurting other people that they don't even know. And that's what I want to talk about in just a little bit. Not even scripted here. We're just going off the top of our hearts. Let's say top of our hearts. That sounds better than anything. And we're just trying to just talk and see what God is doing in the hearts of the people right now that are wondering. I'm sure there's a lot of questions. I'm sure you woke up this morning and when you seen the report, you're like, not again. I think we have been left with a society that is desperate and that sees a lot of oh my goodness, there's no, the Bible says, it says that in the end times, man's heart would wax cold. Man's heart will wax cold. Now, that if we look at that, and if we think of that just for a second, man's heart will wax cold. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that the heart of man would have no care for another. That means that the heart of man will not show compassion and charity, which is love, for another human being. Look at what's happened in just our grocery stores, our Walmarts, our Best Buys. Even, you know, lately, I think in Houston, there's been a huge, what would you call, just huge crime and just robberies and even murder at just cell phone shops. People buying cell phones so they can sell online and sell on the black market, just sell on the streets. And they'll kill people. They'll go right into these little small, very unsecured buildings, and just people are paying their bill or getting an upgrade to their phone, and they're just attacked, and phones are taken, money's taken, and that just happens. And you look at that and you're like, Lord, why is that happening? Why is that happening to these people? Why are these people just doing that? Why are they constantly just attacking? And it's like it started, you know, it started years back, but it just started to, it's progressing and progressing, and it's becoming an epidemic is what it is. It's becoming an epidemic. Just like there's a flu epidemic, just like there's a virus epidemic, an AIDS epidemic, it's becoming out of control. Man's heart will wax cold. Man's heart will wax cold. That means that they're not going to have a care in the world. That no matter what, they do not feel. They do not feel that it's wrong what they do. You know, the Lord showed this to us many years back. Of course, back in his days, while he was walking on earth. He showed us that compassion, that love, those things balance our craziness in our lives. Amen. All of us have crazy days. All of us have days where we just want to lose it and it's just crazy and it's just not working out. And some of us deal with it in other ways. But the love, the compassion, greater love hath no man than this, that another man lay down his life for his friend. The selflessness for a stranger, shown in the story of the Good Samaritan, of someone stopping and caring for someone that's not even of their own origin or of their own race, of their own culture, of their own person, you know, person of interest and influences. It is the compassion that we as Christians should have automatically. A lot of us sometimes have to still work at that. And it's that compassion that these people that are going into supermarkets, and I mean no ill will when I speak of this, I mean no disrespect when I talk about this, but it is the people that just walk straight into a place and have no compassion, no brotherly love, and just without any regards, with their heart waxed cold, and I would say full of evil. full of evil. It takes an evil heart and mind to do such a senseless act. It takes a person that is selfish. And a lot of us say, well, why don't they just take care of it themselves at home? Because they're cowards. And I'll say that again. The reason they don't end it, and it's rude, and it probably shouldn't be talked about like this, but the reason they don't end it in their bedroom, in their study, or in their den, or in their house, and they just take care of themselves right there with that weapon or whatever, is because they're cowards. They can't pull the trigger on themselves, but they can gladly go pull the trigger on thousands of people around the nation. I think that is not gun control with everybody screaming, but I think it's just control. I think we've allowed people to fall through the cracks that need deep medical, mental, physical, and spiritual help, and they're getting weapons and they're hurting people. I'm not saying that they have excuses. Do not take that wrong. But I am saying that there's people that need help out there, and maybe they've tried and people have neglected them, and it could be a lot of things. But it comes down to one thing. The heart has waxed cold. There's no compassion. There's no love. There's no regard for the fellow man. If you lose those things, my friends, even if you're not a Christian, praise God, but if you lose those things, compassion, love for your fellow man, and just regards and care for another person's life. If you lose those things, my friends, you're lost. We know the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit said that the only way you could not come to the Lord is if you grieved the Holy Spirit. If you grieved the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of different teachings on that, a lot of different things. But I think it comes down to the point where you just lose all hope. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now follow me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hope, where hope abounds. Deferred hope. Now, and I'm throwing different scriptures in here trying to help you build this up. When a person is lost and there's no returning them back to the Lord, it is when they have a coldness. The very love of God and love for man, because it's a natural love when you love God, there's a natural love for your fellow man, is taken out of them. Or they've let it go, or they've suppressed it, and it no longer can be opened, it no longer can be kindled, it no longer can be restored. And that is when a person is lost his spot to come into the heavenly kingdom. Now, saying that, trusting God to do great things in many people, we need to pray. We need to pray because there's a generation, because the Word of God says it. It is when men's heart become cold. There's a generation. I don't know if it says young men's. I'd have to look it up. But there's a generation of men's hearts getting cold. Now, this has happened over the years. There's been groups. There's been individuals over the years. But this last 2 years, and if not this last year, we've seen it more and more and more in the news. We've seen it at the Boston Marathon. There we've seen it in different places around the country, from military bases to now the Naval Yard. And I guess this hits home because it's Navy, and I'm Navy as well, and it just makes things come to light when you see that. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Our phone number is 888-642-4767. Again, that number is 888-642-4767. Please give us a call. If you need prayer, if you'd like to buy something from our bookstore, you can visit our bookstore at Rev Ministries.com, and you could go there and see the bookstore. Just click on bookstore. You can also see, I think it's on Rev Media Network. I'm not sure if it's on RevMediaNetwork.com, but you can find it at DavidYanisMinistries.com. I'm certain for that. I made sure of that. You can find that over there. So just some things for you to think about. Just some things for you to take into consideration when you pray, because there's not much else you can do. I mean, what else can we do, my friends, besides being observant and vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, roameth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to, and I say this again, we need to trust God. And we need to pray. We need to pray for all of our friends, for all of our friends and family that we may know, because we know people. I tell you what, if everybody would pray, you know, I was thinking this the other day, or this today. A lot of people say, well, there's a church in my corner. There's 5 churches in my corner. There's 6 churches in my corner. I go down my street and I have 8 churches. It's okay, my friends. It's okay to have all these churches. And I see churches competing with one another, and there's no competition when it comes to God's work. Praise God, you fill your church up, because that's what you're supposed to do. And you know what? Thanks for motivating me, because I'm going to fill my church up too. Now, saying that, there's not enough churches. If we were doing our job, there would not be enough room to contain it. And every building that you see right now will be completely full, and people will be in the parking lot honking their horns trying to find a place to park, to come into to worship the Lord. Now, that is if we're doing our job completely 110%. And some of us are, and some of us are almost, but a lot of us are not. And that's for another show. But I will tell you this, my friends. I will tell you this. It is our job to pray for people like this individual, because somebody knows him. Somebody knows of a person similar to this individual. We don't know if they're going to go off. We don't even know if they have the capabilities. But there's some things in their life that we need to pray about. Now, see, we're not talking about that. We're talking about how can we identify them to stop them. Well, I'm thinking we need to identify them to pray for them. You may know someone's grandmother is praying for someone similar to this, and someone's mother is praying for someone similar. Someone's aunt is praying for someone. Someone's uncle, someone's father is praying, someone's grandfather. So we need to push ourselves to pray. Above all things, pray. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Above all things, pray. Above all things, pray. Above all things, pray. So when we don't understand, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. It avails much. It touches much. It reaches many. It moves God greatly. So when I tell you to pray, when I tell you to open up your heart, and I tell you to trust God, to do the work of the Lord, to know that God has called you, to know that God is with you, to trust him because he's God, to trust him because he's your God. When I tell you these things, I'm telling you to pray. I'm telling you to believe. I'm telling you to walk with great faith. Praise God. All right, I'm off my soapbox. If that was a soapbox, I have no idea, but I feel it was anointed and blessed, and I feel that many people will be touched by this message, and I trust God. Hey, I don't have a Sunday morning church to preach, so you're my audience on Tuesday. I usually preach on Tuesday and Thursday as well, but we're praying that God will syndicate this show. Praying that God will just take this show to the next level. And we have plenty of great guests. We have plenty of people that are just loving the Lord and that are on the air. I mean, we've had different issues we talk about. We don't really have a format that we cover and carry. We're a talk show, faith-based talk show, and a Christian talk show. Praise God, not just faith-based. Christian talk show. We talk about the gifts of God, the glory of God, the faith of God. We talk about winning walk, like what Pastor Ed Young used to always say, you join the winning walk. We talk about being victorious in life, but we also talk about the ups and the downs. And I pray that this is a blessing to you. And if you know anyone that needs to hear such great shows, they can always visit us here at RevMediaNetwork.com. They can catch all the archives at MidWatchWithTheRev.com. That's MidWatchWithTheRev.com. And soon to be MidWatchTV.com coming out to you. So I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. We're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to have our guest, Mr. Josh Murray, and we're going to talk with him just about the things that happened with him as he was preparing and how God called him to do the actual broadcast, the actual show that he made, the film that he made. And we're going to talk with him in just a few minutes. I'll get him on the line. And I just hope all things work for good for them that love the Lord. We got to believe that. Amen. We got to believe it. We got to believe it. We got to trust it. We got to understand it, that it's God. All right, here's One Impact with Terry Squires. We'll be right back in just a minute.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Do you ever feel that your life isn't what God has called you to do? Do you ever wonder why he hasn't placed you in a higher position or calling? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, your host for today, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute program that will impact your life and the lives of others. When I was a young mom, I often questioned if I was doing all that I could do to reach out to others for Jesus. My everyday life of taking care of the home, my kids, my husband, the busy schedule, zapped all my energy. It just seemed ordinary. And I often wondered what it would be to be like in full-time ministry. But then I was reminded that he knows every day of my life before one of them ever came to be. In Psalm 139:16, it states, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." My life and your life is far from ordinary, no matter where you are in life, a stay-at-home mom, a retired grandparent, a student, or working, building a business or a career. God knows all the days before one of them came to be, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's the little things in life that changes the lives of others. Who around you needs a touch from Jesus? Who do you know in your life that is struggling? Who is lonely? Who needs a friend? Impact their life this week. It's not as hard as you may think. Invite them for a walk. Invite them for a pizza or coffee. Offer a listening ear. Give a compliment. Offer a helping hand. Give a smile. Do you know you have a full-time ministry right where God has placed you in your life? And everything you do and everyone in your circle is important to him. Remember, it's the little things in life that changes the lives of others. I often think of the story about the little boy who gave his 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread to Jesus. It wasn't a lot of food, but he generously gave and wanted to help. Wouldn't you have loved to see his little face when Jesus took his offering and fed 5,000 people? The world tells us we aren't successful if our numbers aren't adding up. We all look at numbers. How many Facebook friends do you have? How many people attend your church? How many Twitter followers do you have? How much money do you have in the bank? Listen, God doesn't really care about our Facebook or Twitter accounts. He cares about you and has called you to impact his world through your life, one life at a time. He cares about your children and how you're going to lead them to Him. He cares about your coworkers and how you might share His message. He cares about your neighbors and how you will reach out to them by your actions. When you give generously and share Jesus, like the little boy with two fish and five loaves of bread, your numbers will increase. God is going to use you in mighty ways. Listen to me. You do have a full-time ministry, and by your life, you are reaching thousands and millions for His glory. Won't you join me today and impact His world through your life? And if you have any questions or comments for me, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at terrysquires.com. And until next time, remember, your one impact reaches the world.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we're going into our second segment, and we have a guest that we tried to get on the air with us just before I took off to Africa this last trip, and we couldn't go because we had no power. So you have no power, you can't do anything. We have Mr. Josh Murray. How you doing, Josh?
Good. How's it going, David?
Oh, it's going good, my brother. We're glad that you gave us a second chance.
Well, you know, the power is beyond your control, so...
Oh, absolutely. I had a good friend that does a lot of broadcasting, and his show gets a lot of ratings, and he goes, David, we're always just one power outage to not broadcasting. I guess I felt it that day. Amen. So, So Josh, tell us about yourself. I know you did the 168 Film Project. We're going to jump into that in just a sec, but I want people to know who you are, your faith, how you came to the Lord. Just share with us whatever you want, my brother.
Sure. I've been acting for a number of years, although it wasn't my first career. But you know, after school, I really got fascinated with the whole process of film and acting specifically. My dad is a writer, and so I was always aware of it. But I really got kind of the bug to try acting as a specific aspect of filmmaking. And started pursuing that originally as a hobby, and then it sort of snowballed into something that I wanted to pursue professionally. My faith has always been, you know, the number one thing in my life. God first, family second, you know, career third. And when I started acting, I had the opportunity to work on a film, a 168 film, that a local church was helping to sponsor and organize. And I thought it was such a cool opportunity to do something that incorporated faith and was also, you know, involved acting and filmmaking. That was actually my first audition and first experience acting, and I booked a little role in this short film, and that's kind of what launched me. And then years later, I'm doing another 168 film, and this time I'm, you know, starring in it and helping produce it as well.
Well, were you surprised? How did you hear about the 168? Your first time being cast and everything.
Oh, you know, it felt very random in a sense. I just, you know, came across this local community and found out about this casting call, and I just showed up. I just, you know, literally the month before just started pursuing, looking into, you know, finding about stuff in my area, and had no idea that there was such a big independent film community in the Washington, D.C. area. It's quite a vibrant little community of filmmakers.
Wow. And so, what did you play in the first film?
In the first one, I played a sarcastic parent at the parent teachers meeting. Yeah.
So was it a couple of lines, or you had a pretty good?
Yeah. I had a couple of wisecracks in the film, and it was a pattern that definitely has reoccurred as far as playing a wise guy in some of the future other films that I've done. In that film, it was just kind of cool. I was into it all to do something.
Wow! So did that light the fire in you after that one?
It definitely was encouraging. I mean, getting in there, you know, and actually working on a project was definitely encouraging, inspiring, and piqued my interest. And it was about, you know, 6 month process of continuing to dabble in auditioning and short films that I really started to to find myself kind of driven to better myself as an actor and really learn the craft. And that was when I started to, you know, take some classes and to really dig into, you know, what does it mean to be an actor.
So how long you've been now professionally acting?
A couple of years.
A couple of years. And what other films have you done?
Well, if I went through all of them, even in the short time that I've been doing it, it would probably take up quite a bit of time. People go to IMDb page; they can look through all the films I've done. But some of the recent highlights of this year was Killing Lincoln, which was a television movie that was originally broadcast on the National Geographic Channel and is now on DVD. And then I also had an appearance on the NBC episodic series called Revolution. And both of those programs are up for several Emmy awards. They've got several Emmy nominations, which they will be announcing this Sunday, the Emmys.
Oh wow, that's good, man. It does take time to get out there, and the more parts you pick up and stuff, the better, you know, opportunities you get. So tell us what made you decide to come back to the 168. Was it a year since you did it, and then you came back 2 years, or how was that?
Well, you know, I did it last year as well, but it was a few years, you know, after that, my first experiences that I did come back to it. But this year, you know, I'll tell you one of the things, and this is not, in and of itself, is not the motivation for participating, but they actually got a sponsorship from Ecolite of up to $1 million feature film grant. For the grand prize this year. And just even, you know, regardless of whether you win that or not, the fact that Ecolite is willing to invest that money into the contest and that it's getting that level of recognition and attracting that much attention just makes the festival so much more, it makes it so much more attractive as a process to be a part of. I've grown so much as an actor in my career since I started, you know, doing 168, but 168 has continued to just push the envelope to raise the bar in terms of, you know, what they put together. And so they've kind of grown alongside with me. And the level of talent and the level of competition at the 168 has just grown so exponentially in the last few years that I couldn't ignore it. And when some friends of mine said that they wanted to put together a serious team, and asked me to help, you know, to act in it as well as to help produce it, I jumped on board.
Wow. So what was your scripture? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Romans 5:20. And the theme for this year was atonement and just, you know, dealing with the topic of atonement in general. But our verse that we had to base our script on was 5:20, which basically states that where sin abounds, grace can much more abound.
Amen.
And that was the truth that we tried to reflect in our story. You know, David, I'm sure many of your listeners have seen the Christian films that kind of have the typical role model family that, you know, they have difficulties and they have, you know, struggles that they're going through, hard circumstances. And that's typically the ground that Christian films cover. The thing with our film that we tried to tackle was the families that aren't, you know, the model family, families that aren't together. This family has been almost completely fragmented. It's a fractured family that's broken, and they find redemption and restoration, atonement through the process of the film, in spite of, you know, their brokenness.
Now, how hard is that to get all that in 5 minutes?
Well, the film is 9 minutes,
okay.
So we have a little bit more time than five. Five would be extremely tough. Even 9 minutes was incredibly tough. I think our recut, because we haven't released it yet, but we'll do that later this year, and it will be more than 10 minutes. It'll probably be like a 12-minute film or something like that.
Wow!
Because even nine is very tight to get in. But how do we do it? We have to reflect. In my opinion, my stance, we have to reflect the truth that we're trying to give in an organic story. And so we just try and find a story that demonstrates, you know, that truth that we're trying to distill into the film. We had a very difficult process of trying to come up with that. There was a lot of options. You know, you only get, I'm sure most people that, you know, who aren't familiar with 168 don't realize you only have about a week and a half to write your script and prepare to do this movie, and then you get 168 hours 1 week to film it and do post-production on it. So it's a very tight time frame.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, because a lot of people don't understand the work that goes into just making a film in general, and then you can't do any work until you get the scripture.
exactly, and for, you know, for a full length movie, a year is not a lot of time at all to write a script, and so to take a film that's like a tenth, 10% the size of a feature film, and do it in 1 week is very daunting.
Did you even like throw around ideas and stuff before you got the scripture?
You know, you do start to kind of brainstorm about what possible directions you could go in. Mm-hmm. But in order to really kind of base the foundation of your story on the verse, you kind of have to keep your options open, because you there's a lot of different directions it could end up going in. So we had some you know, ideas, but ultimately we kind of had to start from scratch in terms of the actual storyline.
Wow. So were you involved in writing as well?
You know, I wasn't one of the writers, but I do have a script consultant credit on the film. I helped to, you know, bring in some of the writers on the project, and I was definitely involved in reviewing and giving feedback and input on the process. That's one of the cool things about doing short films and short film competitions and being involved in the producing side of things, is that you can step into other areas and get experience in different aspects of it and help to craft the creative process. So I was able to, you know, not make call the shots, but to give input and give my perspective on the characters and try to help set the direction, the course of the script to be something that, you know, I really believed in, that could be powerful.
Now, did you do this one in Washington or did you do it in California?
We shot this one in Virginia.
In Virginia, okay.
Yeah, entirely in Virginia. The festival itself is based in Los Angeles, so all the teams, you know, whether you're in Virginia or LA or Australia, because there was teams from all over the world. There was multiple teams, even from South Africa, that came. The films all screen in Los Angeles. They get accepted into the festival over the course of a weekend, and you know, the teams that are in the festival can then fly out and all participate at the festival and be there to watch the films. And I was amazed that, you know, people, I think almost all the teams, there were like four teams from Australia, almost all of them came out for the film festival. So it's really cool to just get everyone, you know, from different backgrounds, different parts of the world, all go off and do their films, you know, where they're at, and then everyone congregates together in L.A. to celebrate the films and to, you know, share their work.
Wow. Now, was there a lot of seasoned actors with you, in your group, as far as seasoned talent?
Oh yeah. I mean, one of the actors who was nominated for best actor was Stephen Baldwin. He was starring in one of the films, and he didn't win. Actually, there was another actor who just really had a great part and really knocked it out of the park. And his work was really phenomenal. He's worked with a lot of great actors, you know, himself. So there's a number of people like that who just have had long careers in Hollywood and have done a tremendous body of work, you know, at the top level. So it was definitely, you know, the top films were definitely of, you know, utmost quality.
Oh, amen. Now tell us about your storyline for your film.
Yeah, well, it's a short film, so I can't give away too much of it, but the basic setup, if people watch the trailer, there's a trailer online, and you'll see basically that it's about a girl who's estranged from her father and kind of living the party life, and she gets involved with some bad dudes who end up forcing her to return to her dad's house, but not in the way that he expects. And so this boiling pot of this conflict ends up forcing them to have a sort of strange family reunion and have the opportunity to reconcile.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, we had John on the show with us. John, where we had him just before the festival, and then again, just before the start of the shooting of all the films, and then just before the festival. So So he's been a frequent guest with us, and he was talking about some of the testimonies that some of the filmmakers will bring to them and let them know what happened during the shooting and during the production. Do y'all have any testimonies that happened in your group? Anything inspiring?
Well, you know, I feel like every year that you do the festival, when you have such a tight time frame, it's almost impossible not to have some trying moments. In our case, we got a lot of hiccups in the writing process, and we ended up not finishing our script in time for the beginning of production, and so we actually had to bleed over into our production time to continue finishing writing the script, and then, you know, thus losing part of our shoot schedule and having to compress everything and make an already, you know, tight time frame impossibly tight, and that was a real pressure cooker for me and for a lot of people on the shoot. And definitely have to rely on God's grace to get through those situations, and also to be able to, you know, to continue to treat each other with love when the pressure's on. So that was, it was definitely a tough test, like it tends to be, and definitely a testament to the people involved in the film and to God's grace. I think in our previous year, we had an even bigger testimony, and if you watch some of the BTS, which we have online, you can see just how much goes into the film and how challenging it can be. But last year we had an incredibly difficult amount of resistance on top of the already, you know, difficult process, there was a lot of people who were really heavily, sorely tried, including myself, you know, just physical injuries and sicknesses, car accidents. It was just a really difficult process, and a lot of resistance, but the testimonies from that and the experiences of people going through that is sometimes more important than the film itself and what it does in people's lives and the friendships that it makes, you know, in those pressure cooker situations.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's one thing that I was talking about just before we brought you on the air in the first segment, was just having compassion for your fellow man and just having tolerance and just trusting God that you know, because we all get days where it just really hard sometimes. You know, it just hits sometimes. Sometimes it passes. Sometimes it takes a while. And just how we handle how we handle that shows the maturity level of your faith and shows that you really trust on God, that you're putting even the simplest thing in His hands to take care of. And I think every filmmaker needs to learn that.
Absolutely. And, you know, even if you're not just super competitive, anyone who's good at what they do and is passionate about it, you know, you want it to be the best it can be. You want to be proud of it. You want to do work that's excellent. And when you have that tight time frame, there's very little margin for error. And so when the stuff starts happening and things start going wrong and the pressure's on, it's very difficult to maintain love and humility and graciousness. And I think especially being a Christian film festival, a Christian competition that's based on, you know, Bible verse, you have to you have an extra sort of responsibility or behooves you to really to practice what you preach. It's kind of ironic. If you're not doing that and you're trying to make the film, it's kind of pointless.
That's very, very true. Now, did you go to the festival?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We got four nominations.
Awesome.
Four nominations on a film, and we were a finalist. We didn't make quite the top bracket of best film, but we were finalists and got some nominations, so I wanted to be there for sure. And it was, you know, it was absolutely worth it. The connection that you make, just that the level of, like I said, the level of talent there was outstanding. And, you know, big part of the process is going there, sharing your work with people and meeting other filmmakers and the collaborations that happen out of that. You know, a lot of these short film makers go on to make feature films, bigger feature films. And so, you know, finding the talent and connecting with the people that you want to work with in those environments is a big part of it.
Now, were you surprised at some of the shows that they put together?
You know, I knew it was going to be a step up. I knew it was going to be, you know, some impressive films. But yeah, I was surprised at you know, how strong some of the projects were. I had a little bit of a sense for it because I got to watch the trailers just before going.
Okay.
But definitely the anticipation was mounting as it got closer to the festival and seeing some of the work they did. And the film that won best, and, you know, the money to go and make a feature, was actually my favorite trailer that I had seen, you know, leading up to the festival, so I wasn't entirely surprised at them winning or the quality of the film, but it was just definitely struck me as just a very moving and very compelling piece. I loved it. I loved it. And a lot of times, you know, you see films that are like, wow, that's like, it looks professional, or no, it looks really, really well done, but it doesn't really move you.
Mm-hmm.
And this film really moved people. Like, everyone in the film was, everyone in the audience, rather, watching the film was just kind of struck silent, you know, by the film, or tears, or standing ovations. There was reactions from everybody.
Hmm. So what was the title of the one that won?
The title of the one that won, it was called Removed, and it's about a little girl who is in foster care.
And, oh, wow.
And kind of being bounced around, and just from the eyes of a little child, what it's like to have no parents and to be looking for a home. And that's a theme that obviously really resonates with people because it's such a heartbreaking thing. But they captured it exquisitely. The little girl who played it was, just jaw-droppingly excellent in her portrayal of a little girl. Just such maturity and such force in her character. And I was really blown away by it.
Like you said at the top of this segment, you said that it really brought out just the talent level. The 168 is really stepping up their game and really going further every year and bringing talent like you're mentioning right now. It's just that's amazing. Did the young girl win an award or anything?
I don't believe she didn't win, but she was nominated for Best Actress at
wow.
like 11 at 11 I think, and she was her first film.
Oh wow!
but she definitely has a future.
Oh,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking at your IMDb page, and it's awesome. You got a lot of credits to your name, my friend. Oh man, they keep you pretty busy.
I do try to stay pretty busy. Although, you know, as I continue to do this and do it more, I kind of find at the same time that I am more selective about what I want to do, and I'm still very new in my career and still kind of developing my business and my type and where I want to go, the direction I'm going in. For me, it's becoming much more, it's always been about, you know, quality over quantity, but it's becoming more important for me to find projects that I believe in, and that I get excited about, because I've gotten experience doing a broad range of things. And so I want to really focus in on doing the things that I love doing.
Amen.
So,
amen. So
like my goal is not to add like another 100 credits of just, you know, films, like doing films. I hope to do more and more films that I can you know, really be proud of.
And those are the ones that mean a lot when you think of a film and you can just think of that actor about being in that film. There's mm-hmm. there's many roles out there, but the ones that you can probably pick about five shows that you just knew this actor was made to make that show. And when you do that and you put your heart into it, people are going to notice. You're going to be able to reflect that. And can I ask you a question real quick, my brother? Is it hard to, or is it a balance that you have to keeping your faith in the profession that you're doing?
Yeah, well, that's obviously a consideration for anyone, and a question that, you know, comes to mind for a lot of people. I get asked that a lot. You know, anyone who cares about their morals anyone who cares about their character, their reputation, their example, I think is cognizant and tries to be cognizant of what they're doing. And obviously, with your faith, it's an even greater responsibility to practice what you preach again. And so it's an extra challenge, and it's already a very challenging industry to try and find work and find roles in such a heavily inundated and even oversaturated market. I would say it's tough, but there are so many films out there. There's so many different types of projects, and if you know what you want to do and the types of stuff that are important to you, and you focus on that, then that becomes your path, and that gives you the focus that you need. It makes it sometimes more challenging to find the stuff that you want to focus on, the stuff that you want to work on. But I don't find it hard to make that choice. I want to do the stuff that I want to do, and the stuff that goes against what I believe in that is counter to what I want. Why would I put my blood and sweat and tears into trying to make that happen? So.
Amen. Amen. Give us your website, contact information, anything Facebook that you want to give the audience.
Yeah, sure. I would say if you think of nothing else, you can go to joshmurray.net. That's joshmurray.net. And there are links to everything else off of that page. You can find the link to my Facebook page, which is Josh Murray Actor, my Twitter feed. Some of the other projects I'm working on, For Love of a Fish, is the one I'm working on right now, which is about suicide, veteran suicide prevention. People can check me out on the website, look at what I'm up to, and please follow me on Facebook or Twitter if you want to know what I'm doing.
Amen, my brother. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. And hey, when I get my script done, I may have to cast you, my friend. I'm looking at your picture. Okay. You fit right into it.
Okay. Call me anytime, dude.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you again.
Take care, buddy.
Bye. Amen. Again, that was Mr. Josh Murray, and we have him on the air with us for this segment. And I tell you, he's going to be big. I mean, he is a good-looking guy, of course, but also he's very aggressive, and he's very tuned into his craft, and he gives God the glory. And the Bible says if you love the Lord, amen, and you follow God, and you trust God, that everything your hands touch is blessed. Amen. Do I have to say anything else? Everything your hands touch is blessed. And he's putting his hands toward the filmmaking, entertainment industry as an actor and as a producer, and God is going to bless those hands. I speak it and believe it. He's a good young man, and we're going to see God do some great things with him. And my friends, we are out of time. Praise God. We did another show for you here, and we had a great guest with you, and we talked about different things about faith. Please let anyone else that needs to know about what we're doing and how we're doing it in faith and wants to hear a broadcast, send them to our show, RevMediaNetwork.com. And soon you're going to be able to see us on the Roku device, on TV shows, in your living room. You're going to be able to listen to it through your television, our broadcast as well, as well as with our TV broadcast. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for doing what you do every day and following the Lord, and let us do what we do every day and bringing the Lord and the grace of God to you. God bless you, my friends. Remember, you can write me at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. My number is 888-642-4767. God bless you, my friends. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. Again, that's david@revmedianetwork.com. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch. Our guest on Thursday is going to be James Rupert. We confused it last week. We'll get him this week. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.